Today, thousands of Egyptians are rallying in the Mediterranean city of Port Said, saying that residents there were not to blame for that soccer riot earlier this month that left 74 people dead. Egypt and the U.S. are also locked in a diplomatic showdown after Egypt accused 16 Americans of fomenting dissent because of their work with NGOs, non-governmental organizations, ones that support a democracy. We want to touch down in Egypt with Farouk Elbaz, a Boston University researcher, former advisor to Egyptian President Anwar Sadat. Farouk, welcome back to Here and Now.
Thank you, Robin.
And of course, you know, we have been marking the passing of journalist Anthony Shadid today, who so elegantly and gracefully covered the Middle East. You're nodding yes, you knew him. Your thoughts on the loss of his voice in this ongoing story?
Anthony Shadid was a very vigorous reporter. He knew how to listen to people. He knew how to report things in the right perspective. And he certainly helped American audiences everywhere to get the whole notion of the, or the atmosphere of what is happening in the Arab world. He was highly respected, and he was a very good maneuverer between different groups. He is somebody that we will miss a lot.
Yeah, we could use him now on some of these stories, and let's take a look at the arrests in Egypt. Egypt gets $1.3 billion in U.S. aid. The Joint Chiefs of Staff, General Martin Dempsey, says the issue with the arrested Americans has to be resolved to continue military cooperation and aid. We're told that this move by Egypt's courts to arrest the Americans underscores a schism between the justices in Egypt and the people.
Yes, in many ways it's true. But let us not forget that there were all kinds of groups, not only Americans. There were all kinds of foreign groups from Europe and from everywhere else. So it was not just targeting Americans. It was targeting groups that acted without that approval by the government, without the bureaucracy knowing about it.
In other words, the government is saying that they issue licenses for people to do this kind of work.
That's correct.
Some of these groups did not have that.
Yep.
Laws that were set up under Hosni Mubarak. We spoke to members of NGOs who said that law was used as a way for Mubarak to routinely round them up when he wasn't happy with what they're doing. But to continue with what it might mean, the Muslim Brotherhood, their political party, won more than 43% of the seats in recent elections, have said that if the U.S. pulls aid as promised, if the 16 aren't released, Egypt will review its 1979 peace treaty with Israel.
Yeah, this is just gesture, political gesturing, and I really think it should all be viewed within the context of things, and they are saying that only for public consumption. In real life, the emphasis should have been placed on the fact that these groups did not get the approval, and everybody does. I am starting an NGO in Egypt for illiteracy eradication that uses college students to help in teaching people how to read and write. And I've started talking about it, but I cannot actually do anything until I have the license. And it's been 4 years now. I have a lawyer working on it, and that's okay. So we better know what the laws are and then function within the law.
So are you saying that some of these NGO employees, including Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood's son, Sam, who were working in Egypt, that they were partially at fault for not having the proper
licensing? That is correct. When you go to a foreign country and was going to do some activities, you better figure out what is it that's necessary that I can do that within the existing laws. I'm doing that myself.
Well, just to take us to where you think we are now in Egypt. We mentioned the Islamic, the Muslim Brotherhood. Let's see, about, I think, 60% of the votes in the parliamentary election were won by Islamist Party, 60% of the seats.
That's correct.
We've spoken to other young revolutionaries, people who are on the streets, who are secular, who say that they're not concerned yet, that they feel that the Islamists who won are not, fundamentalists. They are not worried about their rights. But we're seeing that some of them that won seats are very much, for instance, against imposing restrictions on women. So what do you think is going to happen?
It's very true that the vast majority of the people inside Egypt are not worried, for the simple reason that everyone knows that when the Islamists, so to speak, are in control, they have to deal with problems. They have to deal with the economy. And you cannot deal with the economy by saying that women cannot work or women cannot do this or women cannot do that. So they will be moderated. There is no question about it. Some of them are now positioning themselves in a limelight by making statements, and some of them outrageous, like one of them stood up in parliament and made the call to the prayer, which is ridiculous. But he was shouted down by his own types of people. So there are some people are gesturing right now, but I really think they will settle into ruling the country. And I really think in the next election, the Islamists are not going to get that many votes. And this is what we're counting on, because they will no longer be as energetic as they used to, because they will have the problems of the economy and the problems of education and so on.
In other words, you're saying that it'll be the process that happens to every politician who can be a firebrand on either side of the spectrum, but once they get in office, they have to deal with reality, and you think that will flatten out some of the things that we're hearing.
Exactly true. And I actually wrote an editorial to the young Egyptians about that. So say, don't be afraid of the Muslim Brotherhood right now. They will be moderated, but push them to moderate quietly and nicely.
Yeah. Well, but then we saw the soccer riots, 74 people killed. And we understood that it was a sporting event, but part of the large part of the rioting was people attacking each other over politics and the police standing aside. Do you trust the police and the other arms of the government to help through this transition?
Now, most of the blame goes to the police. Most of the blame goes to the security forces that were not able to do what they're supposed to do. And that is, as far as the Egyptian population in general, the vast majority of the people feel that the police should be taken out and on this issue, yes.
Well, the country's now being ruled by a military council. They pledged to step down after a June presidential election. But you've told us about this is a different military in Egypt. They own and run their own companies. People are questioning, do you think they really will step down? They've already said they want to keep their budget separate outside of civilian overview. Do you worry?
Yes, they said that, and the civilians do not really accept this at all. And they said, even if we say that, yes, you will spend that money especially the money that they get from the United States for the arms and all of that, but that should be part of the budget anyway, and we should talk about it. And so the military is certainly going that way.
You're confident Egypt is headed toward democracy.
I think so.
Yeah, Farouk Elbaz, Boston University researcher, former advisor to Egyptian President Anwar Sadat, giving us a sort of a snapshot of Egypt. And, of course, we'll have you back as things go along. I hope you're right.